from theunts.com. This is the Unts Podcast. Featuring interviews, unreleased tracks, and local events with your favorite electronic artists. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests this week are two of the biggest names in live electronic music, Mark Brownstein, bass player for the Disco Biscuits, and drummer Darren Shearer of The New Deal. The Biscuits are releasing Planet Anthem, their first studio album in 3 years, on March 16th, and The New Deal has a new live disc, Live in Toronto, out now on iTunes and wherever good music is sold. For the past few years, Darren Shearer and keyboardist Jamie Shields of The New Deal have toured as The Join, combining forces with various other Livetronica artists such as bassist David Murphy of STS9 and guitarist Tom Hamilton of Brothers Past for all improv electro jams on mini tours and festival showcases. Recently, The Join did a 3-date Midwest swing with Mark Brownstein and keyboardist Aaron Magner of the Disco Biscuits. I got a chance to sit down with Mark and Darren before their March 4th show in Bloomington, Indiana. We're listening to a bit of that night's set right now. In the first half of the interview, which you'll hear this week, Mark and Darren discuss their new albums, MTV Money and Biker Gangs. But first, let's hear the Biscuits live on New Year's 2009 with Above the Waves. We'll follow that up with a little taste of Planet Anthem and On Time right here on the Unts Podcast. Thank you. on Time from the Disco Biscuits new album Planet Anthem here on the Unce podcast. They've definitely got some hip-hop and dance influence tracks on that disc. More on that in a minute. Before On Time, you heard some classic Bisco style trance from their 2009 New Year's Eve gig in New York City that was Above the Waves. Let's get to my interview with Mark Brownstein of the Disco Biscuits and Darren Shearer of The New Deal.
Which of you wants to talk about the new Disco Biscuits album? Darren, do you want to talk about the new Disco Biscuits
album? I want to talk about the new Disco Biscuits record.
Since your fans are so particular about your music, does that affect your creative... Well, as far as I can tell.
All right.
Does that affect your creative process when you go into the studio and you say, okay, here, you know, we've got this list of songs... You don't even think about it?
No. Well, we think about it, but we don't. But we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We're doing it for us, predominantly. We're musicians and artists, and we're like working on we're working on being artists, you know. So you can't think about what your fans want and be a productive artist at the same time. You want to give your fans what they want, you know, and I think we do that. That's the thing. Like, we go out every night and play 3.5 hour shows, 11 songs a night on average. And so you do the math. It's like, you know, we're giving them what they want every night, night in and night out, year in and year out. But the studio is different, you know what I mean? And so we wanted, you know, it's like, for us, we just wanted to... The music that we listened to in 2010 is a lot different from the music we listened to in 2002 when we made our last album. Well, we listened to, you know, I've listened to a lot of LCD Sound System in the last couple of years that didn't even exist back when we made our last, you know, our last album. And, you know, there are a lot of young bands like MGMT who are jam band fans, and then broke out beyond it into like this pop world, you know what I mean? And like, there's all different kinds of music that didn't exist when we made our last studio record. So for us to go in and not be influenced by the influences, you're not trying to be influenced by things, you know what I mean? You don't go out and be like, let me get influenced by this right now,
you know
what I mean? You're just like, whatever you get, whatever comes out is because what you're into. You're into something. Right now, I'm very into soul music. And it's coming out in the studio. There's a lot of soul breaks. I'm using soul breaks, sifting through the stacks and finding old soul breaks and, you know, making hip-hop beats out of them. And that's just a product of the kind of music that I'm listening to right now. And the other guys in the band, there's four guys, so everybody has their own things that they listen to. Magner listens to a lot of Justice and Mastercraft and stuff like that over the last couple of years, and that started to seep into his writing style, and you know, so that's always been that way. We get influenced.
Yeah, I think I noticed, like, when the Omega Moons opened for you guys in Philly, I noticed a real change, a real, like, kind of evolution from when I'd last seen you play. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I don't even know when the last time I'd seen you play, but I noticed a big evolution in regards to, like, the complexity. It's even more like, There was a lot more sort of like strategically placed, you know, sections and layers and all that kind of stuff. Like, it seemed to be more like a
mature.
Yeah, it you know,
well,
for lack
out.
Of a better word, yeah. It seemed a bit more elegant. Like, it
elegant,
seemed a
yeah.
bit more like there was a lot more. I don't know. It seemed like there was like a purpose. There was a stronger
more
purpose,
of a purpose
behind the music.
Yeah, and we played a lot of the, like, that night. We closed the first set that night with On Time, and it was huge, and it was the first really huge live On Time that we played, where we came out and it was the album sounds and the album songs, but then we started to flex it a little bit and we blew it the fuck up that night, that On Time. And that's when I walked off stage. I was like, well, On Time can be gigantic set closer, you know. We didn't know that. We just knew that we had a song that was kind of a hit, you know. We didn't know that it was gonna translate so well into what we do live, you know what I mean?
I'm wondering about that, because that's a 3-minute song on the album. Do you go into the studio saying, okay, this can potentially be a jam or a trance vehicle?
Not everything's going to be a jam. every section of every song is going to be a jam. We already know that. So that's why we don't jam in the studio. That's not what we do. That's not how we write. Often we don't even play together in the studio. You know what I mean? Often we're in the studio and we're doing it part by part, you know? So over a long period of time, very carefully, very meticulously. So when he's at the show at the Electric Factory and he's seeing Widgets and On Time and all of these songs that we're playing concrete, that we're playing live at those shows, that we just put 3 years of thought into those songs instead of 3 weeks of thought or 3 days of thought, which is how we used to do it. We would write a song and just start playing it, and it would get great on the road because that's where you put the 3 years of thought into it. We put the thought into it in the studio, you know, and made sure that it was great before we put it out there. It's been really awesome because we've put out, this is our fifth studio album, and we always wanted to do certain things and they were never happening, like going on the radio or like having a video on MTV. All of these things were just, they couldn't happen. There was a wall back in the day that wouldn't allow a band like us to have that kind of access. But where our sort of music and pop music, it kind of got closer to each other because of the technology and pop and like the way that the pop has gotten so electronic, and like we're electronic to begin with. And so
was that your aim to sort of merge these two fields, show that, you know, a jam, an electronic band can, you know, break into that sort of pop sphere?
Definitely was not our aim. Our aim was to write great songs. And then we wrote 50 of them, and we chose the 13 or 14 that stood the test of time. We've had 3 years with these songs now, so to us they're not new. And so we know that Big Wrecking Ball, which nobody's heard yet, and Rain Song, and On Time, and Loose Change, these stand the test of time. 3 years we've known about these songs, and they're still good. There's other songs that went straight into the set, because they wouldn't have, Caves of the East and Mirrors and all of those songs, Minions and Rockefeller and Park Ave, we wrote all of those all in the same time. Those are all, that could be another album in itself. That could be a whole album that would sound much more like the Disco Biscuits. But we, like I said yesterday to somebody who asked me, if we had made that album, I guarantee you we wouldn't be having one and now on the verge of having two videos in rotation at MTV. And that wasn't our goal, but it's really cool to have taken 3 years to make an album, written 50 songs, and since we did it that way and chose the 10 or 15 best, the two or three best of those are having a chance to go out. You know, it's like now we have two or three great songs out of 50, and those three are so good that people aren't saying no. They're going into rotation at radio stations. They're getting added into, you know, into video television shows. That's wicked.
Mark Brownstein of the Disco Biscuits discussing their new album, Planet Anthem. Here's some of that LCD sound system Mark has been listening to. This is Someone Great. You're about to hear a cut from the New Deal's new live album, Live in Toronto. We'll hear Deep Sun. More about that album from Darren Shearer when we come back, right here on the UNTS Podcast. Deep Sun from the New Deal's new live disc, Live in Toronto, available now on iTunes. This is the UNTS Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. The join is Darren Shearer and Jamie Shields of The New Deal. And on this past run, they joined forces with Mark Brownstein and Aaron Magner of the Disco Biscuits for a few all-improv Livetronica shows in the Midwest. You'll have one more chance to catch this version of the group on March 17th in Buffalo, New York. Let's get back to my interview with Mark and Darren.
I'm wondering, since The New Deal is all about being live and improv and in the moment and that atmosphere, what is your thought process in getting it to translate into a record, into an album?
None. Like we basically
don't overthink it now.
Man, I want to be in The New Deal.
We record every show onto this thing right here.
Yeah.
Onto this exact unit, we record every show. And
it's a beauty thing.
It's a beauty. It is a beauty.
Zoom.
And basically, so we record half audience, half microphone, or half board, like into the board, right?
Yeah.
Or from the board.
Two channel?
Yeah, two channel, man.
And it's just like, here's our album?
Yeah. Old school.
Hello. Yeah. So we play a really great show and we release an album.
Yeah, and Jamie cleans it up and you know, throws it on the computer. We get we have this amazing mastering engineer in Toronto that masters it up for us.
That's awesome.
And
we got six zeros in our debt. And you guys got it and get a new album every night.
Zeros and ones.
We do the same thing.
But then
every
there's the MTV money, right?
We do. Oh yeah, MTV's huge these days. They just throw money at you.
But basically, it's like, you know, for us, it's about the idea that we're just like, we have totally accepted 100% that we are a live band, and we're just nowhere near as diligent, you know, and hardworking and industrious as the Disco Biscuits.
Oh, please. Definitely more industrious.
In regards to like going in the studio and slaving over a record, like I would love to think that we would eventually go to the studio and do a full on record.
You would have to have songs.
Yes, we would have to have songs.
Key to that.
But how we come up with our songs, we'll play shows, and then when we release a record, we end up listening to the record so much that those end up becoming actual staple songs.
Well, that's what happened with the first. Shoe Shine.
Exactly.
Isn't that how you got your first batch of songs? It's like show, record.
Yeah.
These are
we played
songs.
Our first show, we didn't even have a band name, and then we recorded onto cassette tape.
This is the New Deal song.
Exactly. and so for us it's total polar opposite. Like we're kind of the we're like the kings of the world. If the Disco Biscuits are like the full-time motorcycle gang, we're like the Weekenders that like drive up to Reno to play like roulette for a couple
of
hours.
I love it.
Are you still trafficking meth in your crankshaft?
No. No.
Well, then you're not really a biker gang, so no. I don't know why you're talking about that.
We're Weekenders.
Darren Shearer discussing The New Deal's latest album, Live from Toronto, which came out in late February. The new Disco Biscuits album is called Planet Anthem, and you can grab that on March 16th. The Biscuits will be kicking off their tour on March 15th in Philadelphia. You can catch the join with Darren and Jamie from The New Deal and Mark and Aaron from The Biscuits on March 17th. In Buffalo, New York. For complete tour details for The New Deal, Disco Biscuits, and The Join, please visit theunce.com. On next week's show, we pick up with the second half of my interview with Darren Shearer and Mark Brownstein. We talk about Camp Bisco, Conspirator, and the real reason behind The Join. For help with this week's UNS podcast, I'd like to thank Nash Peters and Kevin Park with The New Deal, Drew Grancelli with The Disco Biscuits, Dave, Tim, Leo, and everyone at the Bluebird Nightclub, Alex Schneider and Brent Nixon of Herm Productions, Natty Morrison, George McCabe, and Brett Barman Campbell for their research and resources, and most importantly, Aaron Magner, Jamie Shields, Darren Shearer, and Mark Brownstein of The Joint. We close this podcast with another one of their jams from the Bluebird. If you have any questions or comments about the UNS, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theunce.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunce.com. Remember to visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. If you want to be a point man or point lady for the UNS in your area, contact Avi @theunce.com. That's A-V-I @theunce.com. Catch you next week.